The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. You're listening to George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the George Christensen Show here on TNT Radio. And Senator Alex Antic will be our next guest. He's the fantastic senator from South Australia who, as I said earlier, is just firing on all cylinders on a range of different fronts. He's going to join us at about 5:30 Queensland time. But we've just finished, obviously, that conversation with someone who was in the middle of the outback engaging with Indigenous people, Bishop Gregory Scully. And I want to continue on this theme of the Indigenous voice and what it may do and what it probably won't do. Now, for those who subscribe to my newsletter, nationfirst.substack.com, you may have read this before, but nonetheless, I think this is important for people to understand about the voice, because there's a lot of people in our community that are confused about it, even within Australia. It's people who listen to TNT radio outside of Australia. They probably have no idea what the so-called voice is about. So here's a quick overview. What's happened is the left-wing Australian government has decided to propose a referendum to change the constitution of the Commonwealth of Australia in order to set up this racially based constitutional body that, despite the protests from the so-called fact checkers, many have rightfully said looks very suspiciously like a third chamber of the legislature. It sits alongside our House of Representatives and our Senate. So we've got this quasi-chamber of parliament that's going to be constituted on the basis of race, specifically those of the Aboriginal race of Australia. Now, this so-called Indigenous voice to parliament, as they call it, will have the remit to review any legislation affecting Aboriginal people in Australia. Now, given that every law passed by the Australian parliament affects every Australian, that's going to mean that this race-based chamber will potentially be reviewing every single law proposed by the actual democratically elected government, and they'll be putting forward potential changes to said laws. So some may claim that any changes to laws coming from this so-called Indigenous voice to the Australian Parliament will be recommendations only. It won't be mandatory to enact whatever they've decided. But the reality is, in this woke era, it is going to be a very brave government or parliament that rejects the calls from this voice, no doubt fearful of being labelled a racist. And we actually have proof of that. You may have seen in the news one of the architects of the voice, a Marxist by the name of Thomas Mayo, he actually belled the cat. He actually has been on record in these left-wing podcasts and interviews that he's conducted where he said that they will use this institution to actually force issues on politicians, to punish politicians to do their bidding. That's what's going to happen here. And this voice is also going to have a role not just in advising the legislature of this country, but it's also going to have a role in advising the executive government on the implementation of laws and regulations that come out of the parliament. Now, if you're still having trouble understanding exactly what the voice, the Indigenous voice to the Australian parliament is, which admittedly is a very complex and peculiarly Australian issue, just imagine for a moment to our American audience, the Biden administration proposing a constitutional amendment that's going to set up an outfit that'll sit alongside the Congress that'll be entirely made up of Native Americans and that would have the right to interfere in the decisions of the democratically elected House of Representatives and Congress and a right to interfere in decisions emanating from the White House. That is what we are talking about. Now, I can imagine that American heads would be exploding left, right, and center if Joe Biden did get up and propose that, or anyone got up and proposed that. But yet in Australia, the polling until recently showed a majority of people supported this notion. How the hell did that come to be? The racist and undemocratic nature of this Indigenous voice to the Australian Parliament just makes this proposal plainly wrong in principle. As I discussed with Bishop Gregory earlier, it's a bad idea because it won't do anything to improve the lives of everyday Aboriginal Australians. And you don't have to take my word for it. Take the word of someone who I, or an outfit that I wouldn't normally quote here, the World Socialist website, who acknowledges, and I quote, The voice would entrench and enhance the power of a privileged layer of Indigenous CEOs, business operators, bureaucrats, and senior academics, end quote. Nothing for the Indigenous man or woman in the outback, nothing for those tribal Aborigines that exist in places like South Australia or the Northern Territory or WA. It won't do anything for them. As the socialists have just said there, it will entrench and enhance the power of a privileged layer. That's it. But the fact is that this so-called voice is more than just racist. It's more than just undemocratic. It's more than just a waste of money. I believe it actually is a Trojan horse for globalist control over Australia. Now, hear me out here. How is this a globalist vehicle? How is this a Trojan horse? I'll tell you how. Here's a question for you. How does a democracy die? It dies on the altar of a supposed utopia, and it dies much to the cheers of the misled masses. That's how it has always been when totalitarians gained power, whether it was in Russia, in Germany, in China, in Iran, in Cuba, wherever it is, brutal dictators and their murderous supporters seized power on a promise of undoing a past wrong, manipulating the masses into supporting policies that ultimately compromised their liberty because it was all for the supposed greater good. Remember that phrase? We heard the greater good for the betterment of society, betterment of others. We heard that over the past few years as our rights were rode roughshod over by governments with such things as lockdowns, curfews, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, no job, no jab policies. That really did a lot of good, didn't it? For the greater good. Today, history is repeating itself in Australia with this very issue of the Indigenous voice. The left-wing government that we've got in Canberra, the Albanese Labor government, clearly acting on the orders of the globalist oligarchs, is trying to rig a referendum. Yes, I do say rig a referendum. How are they rigging it? Well, they've only actually allowed one side of the argument to take donations, campaign finance, basically, in a tax-deductible manner. That's rigging a referendum. It really is. And it's a referendum that's going to make drastic changes to the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Australia. It will heavily compromise this nation's sovereignty and ability to function as a Western-style democracy. This referendum, if it's successful, is going to set up, as I said before, as racially based constitutional body that is going to look suspiciously like a third chamber of the Australian legislature. It's a premise, the premise that underpins the setting up of this, putting it into constitution, is that it's somehow going to right the wrongs of the past by giving Aboriginal Australians a greater say in the affairs of this nation. So, like the totalitarians of old or the totalitarians from a few years ago, they're promoting it as a greater good that will help empower a section of society that historically has been marginalised. Well, we do need to accept that. They have been marginalised. However, neither the Albanese Labor government nor the crafters of this referendum proposal really do have the best interests of Aboriginal Australians, and certainly not Australia itself in mind when it comes to this proposal, when it comes to this voice. Rather, it's all a grand deception. It's a grand deception that's going to allow oligarchs to seize our country's land, waterways, natural resources as well. Now, there was a senior United Nations insider who recently revealed, his name was Carlin Georgescu, he recently revealed that the UN, that seemingly has this mission of promoting world peace, actually is a front for the global oligarchs to propagate and enforce their agendas. You may have missed it. You know, it wasn't publicised in the news. I thought that would be huge news, the fact that this insider, Carlin Georgescu, has just literally laid it down like a dead cat on the table, saying the UN is just a front for global oligarchy. It propagates and enforces the agendas of this global oligarchy. It does nothing about uniting nations. It does nothing about world peace. It is just there for the globalist elite. Now, he said that. Did you see it in the papers? Tell you what, you can go onto Rumble and type in Carlin Georgescu, and you will find it there, but you won't see it in many other places. But I got to say that that whole thing, propagating and enforcing the agenda of the global oligarchy, is what's going on here amidst the Aboriginal rights movement in Australia, and particularly with this issue of the Indigenous voice. It is a similar UN agenda going on. A document detailing a United Nations plot to use Indigenous rights was actually discovered by an Australian lawyer of Aboriginal ethnic heritage, who formerly served in the then Prime Minister Tony Abbott's Indigenous Advisory Council. Did you hear anything about that? Possibly not. That document detailed how the United Nations plot to use Indigenous rights as a front to hide their real intention to allow a globalist takeover of land and resources in this country. The lawyer who found this document reported that it showed that the main points, and I'm quoting here, the main points are between 70 to 80% of Australia's landmass by 2030 is expected to be non-transferable native title. And this means that only big business and big government can deal with it. This is really a mechanism for the UN crooks to steal our country, and it's not by accident that the Native Title Act refers to the UN providing a mechanism for the UN crooks to push to end private property for working Australians, end quote. But this UN plot to weaken Western nations via the Aboriginal land rights movement, it's not a very new revelation, I've got to say. Go back to the 1980s, and you may, if you were paying attention, have heard of a fellow by the name of Jeff McDonald. He was a member of the Communist Party of Australia. He left the Communist Party of Australia, became a whistleblower. He actually went through labor movements, through union movements as well, but he eventually became a whistleblower against the communist plot. And he was warning Australians, as I said, as far back as the 1980s, of how the Marxist failure to destroy the West by force had resulted in a shift in their strategy that encompassed the infiltration of many different movements, including, in this country, the Indigenous rights movement. Now, McDonald said that Australia would be seriously compromised through a Marxist-appropriated Aboriginal movement, which would, and I quote, here again, eventually establish a separate Aboriginal nation under communist domination. I want to repeat that, folks. It's very important. Back in the 1980s, Jeff McDonald, former communist turned whistleblower, who said that what is going to eventuate is the establishment of a separate Aboriginal nation under communist domination. Well, how prophetic. How prophetic. Through his Communist Party background, McDonald was privy to the plans of Marxist radicals, how they would hijack the Aboriginal cause, how they would silence their moderate elements within the Aboriginal community, and how they would use their grievances as a front to push for policies that only compromise Australian sovereignty and invite takeover by foreign elements. He wrote a book, and you can actually find the book online, but I'd encourage you to search, you know, all the normal spaces to go and find and buy a copy of it yourself. The book was called Red Over Black, Behind the Aboriginal Land Rights Movement. And in that book, McDonald wrote this: the concept of a separate nation means exactly what it implies, the right to invite in foreign troops, such as Robert Mugabe has done in Zimbabwe with his small army of highly trained troops from communist North Korea. The proposed Aboriginal nation could claim the right to seek aid from the United Nations, from Vietnam or anywhere else. You know, I'll add to that, perhaps from China. Who knows? Red Over Black. It is a very, very interesting book. In that book, McDonald revealed how Indigenous issues were weaponized by Marxists, as I said, to invite intervention by foreign bodies such as the UN, and we've seen that from time and time again, the UN commenting on Australia's domestic policies in this regard. But by seizing control of various government media agencies, so McDonald said, Marxists could then purposely spread misinformation, distort history, and amplify fake news to create grounds for foreign intervention and sabotage the long-term well-being of this nation from within. ABC, anyone? Thank goodness we've got stations like TNT Radio that are trying to at least swing the pendulum back a little bit. The question arises, why the hell would Marxists be so intent on a foreign takeover of Australia? Well, for starters, the vehicle that's designed for takeover, the United Nations, was entirely a Marxist creation. Go back and have a look at its history. Look at the Marxists that were that were intimately involved in its setup. Even people from Australia like Doc Evatt. And I got to say that it still runs a Marxist globalist agenda to this very day. Also, a free and prosperous people, such as that which Australians once were, well, they are the antithesis to the Marxist cause. And, you know, if a communist can't get their way, well, I think that they would rather destroy what they can't control. What McDonald and many other insiders into the Marxist movement in Australia and beyond all share is the same sentiment. They believe that those claiming to speak on behalf of the Indigenous voices, the real Indigenous voices, are nothing more than frauds. They bank on the lack of awareness of the common public to further the agenda of their true masters, the globalists, the bureaucrats, the corporate overlords, who all have ill design over Australia's bountiful national resources. We'll be back after this break here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show.
TNT Radio's Lynn Shaw.
We're going to focus on the number one crime affecting especially teenage boys. It is called sextortion, and it is the practice of extorting money or sexual favors from someone by threatening to reveal evidence of their sexual activity. And this is one of the biggest crimes online affecting kids in 2023. And I know it's hard to deal with, everybody. What if this happened to your child or grandchild? So we're going to talk about it. So it exploits the kids through coercion and blackmail to acquire sexual content, engage in sex, or obtain money. Now, coercion, that is the traditional meaning of human trafficking, using force, fraud, coercion. This is a form online of human trafficking. People always think it's the white van, it's somebody outside. And yes, that does happen. But now with online, it's like opening your front door and just welcoming the world to step in, unless you put safety features, filters, talk to your kids. I know it sounds overwhelming, but it is very easily accomplished and done. It does start with you, though.
Lynn Shaw on TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Informing, not boring. George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Thanks very much for joining me again on the George Christensen Show here on TNT Radio. We're discussing the Indigenous voice to the Australian Parliament. And what does it mean for Australia? What does this voice mean? Well, the control of a nation's resources through the control of its government is nothing new. We've already seen extensive examples of this in many third world countries. It's primarily such foreign influence that has condemned many of those countries to remain poor and corrupt. But in the Western world, where once strong national identities, institutionalized state apparatus, and a democratic system of checks and balances flourished, a globalist takeover was, that being the operative word, greatly hindered. And so the globalist elite hoped to circumnavigate all of that by creating parallel societies within Western states to weaken them from within and lay a foundation for their eventual takeover. Sometimes they captured institutions in order to do that. The content of the so-called voice is just left intentionally vague and ambiguous so as to deceive ordinary Australians of its true aims. Indeed, a proponent of the voice can tactfully avoid any scrutiny of the proposal whatsoever, instead just shifting attention by appealing to people's emotions of undoing historic wrongs and righting racial justice. The reality, as I said earlier, is that the voice is a Trojan horse, aimed at paving the way for a nation within a nation. A nation within a nation. It will further solidify racial tensions within this country that the leftist useful idiots are so keen on inflaming on behalf of the globalist puppeteers. It would also destabilise our state apparatus, with decision-making at all levels of government paralysed as the Voice issues its proclamations on every law under the sun, and activist judges then attempt to undermine the democratic process with legal jiggery-pokery, elevating those proclamations to the status of constitutional clauses. And if you don't believe me on that, then take the words of eminent constitutional lawyer Professor Greg Craven of Australian National University. This is what he said. The Voice can comment on everything from submarines to parking tickets. It will be very difficult for the government to operate, either because it will be constantly delayed, tied up in knots, or indeed because the courts end up intervening directly in the decision. Now, part of me actually likes the fact that governments will be caught up because then they can't do anything to us. But unfortunately, what they're going to be caught up in is a whole raft of bad recommendations that will eventually become law that will do something to us. It'll remove our sovereignty. And that situation will create a further legal grounds for the appropriation of that 70% of Australian land to native title. This won't be to the benefit of the Aboriginal people of Australia. It certainly won't. It rather, it'll benefit the oligarch class. It'll be a final opportunity for the globalist oligarch class to exploit Australia with impunity and hold our economy, hold our nation, hold our country hostage. Indigenous representation, which many claim this proposal will enable, will instead be sidelined. Now, it's got to be said, at the moment, true Aboriginal voices are being repressed with this issue. Some of them are leaking out at the moment, some of them are coming out, but mostly they're being repressed. We're being manicured, the whole process is being manicured with these talking heads that we see that supposedly represent all of Indigenous Australia. But, you know, most Aboriginal people that I know, most Indigenous people I know, they just demand the same as any of their other fellow countrymen, to live a dignified, free and prosperous life. And this simply cannot happen if Australia gets divided and sold to the highest bidder. Indigenous representation will be sidelined. It'll be a managed class, the same sort of talking heads that we're seeing at the moment, that claims to speak on their behalf, that will be in charge. But they will truly be speaking only and acting only on behalf of their own self-interest and that of the corporate and globalist overlords. And we can draw an insight from a real-life example here with our neighbour New Zealand. They implemented a similar governance model to The Voice, which they called co-governance. It was supposed to reduce ethnic inequalities, but it worsened them. It made a small group of grifters exceptionally rich. And that small group now collectively leads billion-dollar enterprises, but at the same time continues to beat the drums of oppression. Since 2015, New Zealand has been experiencing an unprecedented and hostile takeover of its land, its real estate, and its resources by foreign companies. As it stands right now, 6 of the 10 biggest landholders in New Zealand are foreign companies. Just 0.1% of the population owns 50% of the land, and their percentage of the total continues to increase rapidly each year. With The Voice, Australia is going to be headed for the same harrowing future. The enactment of this voice will be the enactment of an end to the Australian nation as we know it. So what can we do to stop it? Now, at the tail end of the 2022 Australian federal election, the country's now Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said, "I'm here to change the country. That's what I'm going to do." But it wasn't a vow, it was a threat that he was making. How can supporters of a movement that's openly hostile to Western values, its culture and its heritage, ever think in the best interests of a Western nation? To our puppet Prime Minister, his government, his supporters and the puppet masters in the UN and the World Economic Forum and all the other globalist institutions, the message has got to be clear. Australian sovereignty isn't for sale. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Australians must not let the globalist elite take over their country. That is a fight that Australians, Indigenous, white, black, Asian and mixed, all must have right now. We've got to get into that fight. Those who call Australia home have a stake in safeguarding its future for themselves, for their loved ones and for their future descendants. In all ways peacefully possible, Australians have got to encourage a majority no vote in the referendum that is coming up on the Indigenous Voice to the Australian Parliament. So I'd say to you, write to your newspapers, share the truth on social media. or via emails to your family and friends, or invite neighbors over for a cup of coffee, or your mates over for a barbecue, and discuss why The Voice will destroy the nation. Do whatever you can to reveal the lies of our sold-out government and the ill designs that the globalists have for this country. Because history is in the making right here, folks, and Australia has got a choice to make. It's a choice that will either result in the slavery of its people or a rekindling of the flames of liberty that was seen in the poor gold miners who rebelled against injustice at Eureka. The time to act is right now, and it's up to all of us to make the right choice. Now, I would recommend to you a couple of resources to cap this discussion off. There is a fantastic Substack that goes deeper into these issues. It's found at stephenreason.substack.com, STEPHENREASON, stephenreason.substack.com. He has got a number of fantastic articles up there that talk about this issue and go far deeper than what I've just gone into the globalist control element of The Voice. Please read it. It's a very important reading as far as I'm concerned. You can then go, if you want to be so bold and share this view with others, to an outfit that I've just got involved with. I can highly recommend them. They're called Citizen Go. Go to citizengo.org /EN-AU if you're outside of Australia, but citizengo.org inside of Australia. Scroll down and you will see Say No to Our Racism in Our Constitution. It's a public pledge that you can actually sign, a public pledge against this agenda to put racism, which is what it is, in our constitution. That pledge is this: I pledge to stand against racism in the Australian constitution and vote no to the Indigenous voice to parliament. I firmly believe that The Voice is racist, confusing, and a wasteful use of taxpayers' money that will drive Australians apart, not bring them together. By signing this pledge, I commit to protecting Australia's national unity and upholding our shared values of fairness and equality for all under the law. I will vote no to The Voice and encourage others to also vote no in the upcoming referendum. It's that important, folks, that I think we should be taking this pledge, and we should be encouraging many others to take this pledge if we can promote the fact that this proposal is wrong, just even on the basis of the basics. One, it's racist. The establishment of a constitutional body based on race contradicts the values of an egalitarianism and fairness that Australia takes pride in. If we create a group that's solely defined by race, we risk perpetuating discrimination and division within our society. It's confusing. The proposed voice to parliament lacks clarity regarding its authority and its potential impact on the nation. That uncertainty is dangerous. It leaves the room open for unforeseen consequences, such as all that I've just discussed, that could and very well disrupt our democratic system. And finally, it's a waste of taxpayers' money. As I said repeatedly, the financial resources that are going to be allocated to This Voice and all of its staff, all of these bureaucrats that will base themselves out of Canberra, wouldn't that be better spent on the living conditions of Indigenous Australians through a better delivery model, mind you, but for education, for healthcare, for community development initiatives? But this proposal is just going to divert funds away from any meaningful change into just more big government, more bureaucrats, more Canberra knows best. And it's wrong. It's wrong. So, ladies and gentlemen, to sum it up, it's racist, it's confusing, it's a waste of taxpayers' money, and the big one, it could lead to globalist control within our country. It could lead to a nation within a nation. And I got to say, there's much, much more when you really scratch the surface of The Voice. I could go on to talk about the Truth Commission that they want to set up. I could go on to talk about the treaties that they want to enact. I could go on to talk about the reparations that are being called for, you know, taxpayer-funded reparations. Us non-Indigenous people have to pay Indigenous people a rent tax. That's a proposal that comes out of this. It is crazy stuff, Crazy, crazy stuff. So I would say, please consider signing that pledge. You can find it at citizengo.org. But whatever you do, just share the facts with other people. Share the facts with other people. And we will obviously be able to get a change going here in this country on this issue. Because if we don't, I'm afraid that a lot is going to be lost. A hell of a lot is going to be lost. Thanks very much for entertaining me for the last half an hour on that. We're going to go to a quick break here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show. We'll be back after these messages.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
How do you calm down a worried public or worried bunch of AI inventors?
And you're right. Some of the biggest names in tech have been projecting what they call AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. So right now we don't have that, but that has kind of been seen as the threshold of when AI becomes as smart or smarter than a human, it can actually behave like a human. So the Alan Turing test used to be the test of whether a machine was intelligent, and it used to be able to be indistinguishable from how a human would act or think, really, or calculate. We're really getting close to that. And now they actually feel that, the way that AI is going to be defined as general artificial intelligence will be much more superior to that. Some people think that we don't have thinking AI. I think if AI thinks it's thinking, then it's thinking. Good enough for me.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nurses United Against Human Trafficking is an organization founded by two nurses who are driven to abolish modern-day slavery. Our mission is to embolden and empower nurses by establishing best practices and standards of care for this vulnerable and invisible population. We're committed to eradicating human trafficking by raising awareness, providing education and resources, and participating in advocacy efforts. Nurses United Against Human Trafficking has an aim of developing and empowering nursing experts and healthcare professionals throughout the country and around the world. Help join the fight in eradicating human trafficking. Visit nuaht.org to find out about becoming a member. A message brought to you by TNT Radio. Reflective Spaces Ministry is a nonprofit, trauma-focused healing ministry ranch in Florida. We provide reflective spaces for transformational healing and total restoration in a faith-filled environment for survivors of human trafficking, sexual and domestic violence, and childhood adversity to thrive. Our mission is to empower survivors to start their own transformative journey as they find peace, calm, and serenity on the grounds of our supportive, tranquil ranch. Whether it's from a tree swing to sitting on a bench quietly thinking, Reflective Spaces Ministry can help recapture the carefree life every child should enjoy without the residue of shame, guilt, fear, self-loathing, and regret. Start your healing journey today. Visit ReflectiveSpacesMinistry.com to find out how you can help and get involved. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're responsible for an extraordinary number of deaths.
When everyone dies sometime, I just speed up the process.
So how do you choose your victims?
Wrong place, wrong time. Young, old, fat, thin, it's all the same to me. They don't always see it coming.
But the parents who won't see their kids grow up, the grandparents who'll never meet their grandchildren.
It's up to them to take precautions, isn't it?
So you can be stopped.
Yeah. Some fight back.
Exactly how often do you kill?
Well, about every 90 minutes, give or take.
How have we not heard of you?
You have.
Heart disease is New Zealand's biggest killer. Donate today and help the Heart Foundation fight back. Call 0800 830 100 or visit heartfoundation.org.nz or a New Zealand Post shop.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Informing, not boring. George Christensen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, welcome back to the George Christensen Show here on TNT Radio. We were going to be joined by Senator Alex Antic, but unfortunately he has gotten caught up in a meeting, and so we aren't going to be talking to him today. But I have to say he's been doing a fantastic job on a range of fronts. We will get to talk to him in the future. Alex Antic is not going anywhere for a long, long time. He is in there fighting a whole heap of battles for you, for conservative Australians, for people that love freedom and liberty in this country, whether it's on the issue of vaccine mandates, whether it's on the issue of this gender confusion that goes on in our schools, public libraries and whatnot, whether it's the issue of The Voice, so many fronts that Alex Antic is battling on. It'll be very interesting when we get hold of Alex to talk all about that. But at the moment, he is doing the busy work of a senator for South Australia, and there's a public meeting that has gone on longer than expected, so he won't be joining us. I'm sorry if you were waiting for Alex Antic, but let's talk about another issue that's just come up in the last day or so, and that is Russia. Boy, oh boy, who saw that coming? So, well, apparently, actually, the US military-industrial complex did, or at least the Pentagon did. They apparently had told US congressmen and senators about this happening a week ago. Now, how they saw a coup that just sort of developed out of nowhere coming really is going to make you think, doesn't it? What hand did the military or the CIA perhaps have in this coup? Who knows? Who knows? The fog of war is what they call it. But, you know, it's just interesting to see all of these journalists around the world who would condemn people who are involved in the January 6th protests, you know, when all these people stormed the Congress and the US. They condemned them for what they said was an insurrection. It was nothing of the sort. If it was, it happened to be the most peaceful and polite insurrection that you ever have seen, where you got all these people marching single file through the roped areas. I've never seen an insurrection go down like that, folks, have you? But anyway, they were dead against all of these insurrectionists. Insurrection's terrible. It's an affront to democracy. And yet at the same time, here are all these journalists cheering on an insurrection in Russia. And I got to say, there's a form of madness, Russophobia that goes on here, because who were they cheering on to take over Russia, to actually succeed in this coup? They were cheering on the head of a mercenary army. And what was their beef with Putin? Their beef with Putin is there wasn't enough being done on the battlefront, that more needed to be done. So, you know, Wagner, that operation, wanted more firepower. They wanted more damage done to Ukraine. They wanted more effort. I got to tell you, we're probably lucky things have gone down the way they did, because if they had have gotten control, if they had have been successful in this coup, what could have happened essentially is you could have had Russia that just wanted to wipe Ukraine off the map. Imagine that. We would have been saying, bring back Putin. You might have had Russia that was willing to actually go to war with NATO. Imagine that. We would have been saying, bring back Putin. You know, we possibly could have had the start of World War III. But here are all these idiot journalists and other people that think they know better than all of us that were saying, oh, this is great. You know, the collapse is going to happen. We're going to get rid of Putin. We're going to have Russia in the hands of someone else, like it was a good thing, without actually understanding what was going on. So the expert class, once again, has been found wanting dreadfully on this issue. And, you know, it's just interesting how it's all gone down. So overnight, this coup just collapsed in a heap. How did that happen? It's really bizarre. They marched all the way into something like 200 kilometers from Moscow. They took over a military garrison or a regional military headquarters without any blood being spilt, so we're led to believe. And they took control of that, and then they were going to march on. But suddenly a call from the president of Belarus negotiating some sort of peace agreement between these coup forces of Wagner and the Russian government, that they managed to call the whole thing off. And now it's all off. They're turned around to people, and everyone's fine with it all. It's very, very bizarre. Very, 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 very bizarre. I don't know what the hell has gone on here, but I can tell you one thing. What has gone on here is not what the media have told you, once again. Now, I want to delve into this Russian issue, and I'm going to get criticism for this because society has gone a bit bananas, particularly Australia has gone a bit bananas over the whole Russian thing, although it's changing. I see that polls come out very recently showing that fewer and fewer Australians are supporting involvement, any Australian involvement in the Ukrainian war effort, and that is a promising sign because maybe some people are waking up to what's really going on. Did you know, for instance, that the people in that Donbass area, the people in that Donbass area on the eastern side of Ukraine were pretty much ethnically Russian, the vast majority of them? They are decried as separatists, militant separatists, all the rest of it. But they're a group of people that are living in or were living in Ukraine that were being shelled by their own government. I've got a headline in a newspaper from 2014 that actually shows that happening, shows Kiev forces shelling these people in Donbass. Why? Because they wanted to be separate from Ukraine. And, you know, there's something to be said about sovereignty here. What is sovereignty? When a free people decide that they no longer want to be part of one country, they either want to be a separate country or they want to belong to another. Well, isn't that sovereignty? Shouldn't the will of the people be taken into effect? But instead of discussion, instead of debate, instead of, you know, entering into some constitutional arrangements that may allow these people to go on and live their own lives as they wanted, what happened was that they were met with shelling. They were met with bombs. They were met with gunfire. And this was going to happen again. People wonder, oh, why is it that Putin just went in and invaded Ukraine? Is it because he's a madman, because he's got bloodlust, because he wants to recreate the Soviet Empire? Well, no, it's simply because the president of Russia couldn't sit by while another attempt was being concocted just before Russia engaged in this military operation in Ukraine. Another attempt was being concocted by either the Ukrainian army or Azov forces, the sort of militia, to actually go in and wipe out a whole heap of these people in the Donbass region, who, as I said, they're ethnic Russians, but they're being styled by their own government, many others, as foreigners, foreigners who have invaded this land. So there was going to be an ethnic cleansing that went on. You have heard none of this, none of this. I'm sure that you have heard none of it, unless you listened a few episodes ago of this show where we talked to a journalist out of that Donbass region situated there, and he told that tale. So this isn't as clear cut as people want it to be. They want it to be a goodie versus baddie story. But how on earth was a Russian president going to sit by while there was going to be ethnic cleansing? I can tell you ethnic cleansing of ethnic Russians in that Donbass region. I can tell you if he sat by on his hands and did nothing, Putin would have been removed. He would have been removed long ago. And who he would have been removed by were hardliners in Russia that do actually want to expand the Russian Empire, that do want to recreate the old Soviet Union, that probably want to take over all of Ukraine. And, you know, the Western media and a lot of other people at the moment, they want to kid themselves into thinking that, oh, Ukraine and this, you know, former comedian turned president who walks around in a khaki T-shirt, you know, even for podcast interviews, like he's on the front line all the time, that these people have taken on the might of Russia and they are defeating it. Well, that is a joke. That is a joke, ladies and gentlemen. And if you believe that, really, you need to switch off the newspapers, switch off the TV sets, switch off the radio stations, apart from TNT radio, that you might be listening to where you're hearing this nonsense, and actually go and look for some other voices. Because when you do search for the truth in this matter, what you find is that Russia has gone in very softly, softly. The issue is they did not want to actually go in and invade all of Ukraine, to wipe Ukraine off the map, to capture Kiev and all the rest of it. What they wanted was the Donbass region, and the Donbass region protected, because that is full of ethnic Russians who potentially were going to be subjected to ethnic cleansing. So if you don't believe me, if you think somehow that this little country of Ukraine was going to defeat the might of Russia, let's have a look at a military comparison between Russia and Ukraine. You really think that if Russia, here's a question before we go into that. Here's a question to ask yourself. Do you think that if Russia wanted Ukraine off the map, that it would be off the map by now? That's a key question. And I think the intelligent listener here will obviously say yes. Yes, they would have wiped them off the map if that's what they wanted right now. But they don't want that. Putin doesn't want that. There's something else going on here. And if you think that, oh, it's just the guy walking around, Zelensky, in his khaki green T-shirt that's firing up all the Ukrainians to, you know, pick up cudgels and bash back the evil Russian army, well, you're smoking what you're growing. Let's have a look at the stats here. Here's Russia's estimated total military personnel, 1.33 million. What is it in Ukraine? 500,000. That's total military personnel. Russia overpowers it by greater than 2-1. Active soldiers, 830,900 in Russia compared to 200,000 in Ukraine. Reserve forces, they're equal, 250,000 each. Paramilitary units, 250,000 in Russia, 50,000 in Ukraine. That's a factor of 5-1 in Russia's favor. So, okay, ground game can be sometimes won with smaller forces. We've seen that in battles before. But let's have a look at total aircraft. Russia, 4,182. Ukraine, 312. Really? Really, you think that Ukraine would still be standing if Russia just wanted to destroy it? 4,182 military aircraft versus 312. Let's break that down. Helicopters, about 1,500 in Russia's hands, just over 100 in Ukraine's, 113. Fighter jets, 773 in Russia's hands, 69 in Ukraine. That's greater than a factor of 10-1. Dedicated attack craft, 744 in Russia's hands, 28 in Ukraine's. Attack helicopters, 537 in Russia's hands, 33 in Ukraine's. So you've got to ask yourself, what is going on if Russia is not wanting to actually destroy Ukraine? And what it is something that, as I said, you are not going to hear from the mainstream media, because they want to present to you this idea that this is just goodies and baddies. Russia is the baddie, Ukraine and the man in the green shirt is the goodie. I could go on with this. I could talk about the naval capacity here. I'll just quickly go to that. The Navy, I think, again, there is this major imbalance there. It's a huge imbalance, actually, more than even the ground forces and the air jets. But let's just have a look at the infantry fighting vehicles. Russia has got 17,677 infantry fighting vehicles, 17,370 battle tanks, nearly 15,000 armored personnel carriers. Ukraine, 1,100 infantry fighting vehicles, less than 370 battle tanks, and less than 270 APCs. There is just no question here that if Russia wanted to take Ukraine off the map, they would have done it long ago. So what they're doing is not trying to take over Ukraine. They're not interested in that. They're not interested in subjugating a people who simply don't want to be part of Russia. What they're interested in doing is protecting those ethnic Russians that are in that Donbass region. And, you know, that's what people have got to remember. Again, I'm not sitting here saying that this is a good cause that Russia are engaging in, that everything that Russia has done has been good. I'm just saying this isn't black and white, that there is a lot of grey in this. There is a lot of bad on both sides. But I got to say, at the end of the day, I do actually understand where Russia is coming from. And I think that at some stage down the track, we might actually have to try and get a spokesperson for Russia, whether it's either the ambassador from Russia to Australia or a spokesperson from the Russian embassy. Perhaps we'll even get the guy who's holed up in the consulate. I'm not sure if he's still there, the Aussie Cossack on the show. He's another commentator here on TNT Radio. But whatever the case, we need to have this situation laid out quite clearly so that we can understand both sides of the argument. Right now, there really is only one side of the argument being laid out to us, and that is the side of Ukraine. And what do they want in Ukraine? Of course, they want Russia gone. But it's just very scary how Zelensky has come out more often than not actually calling on other nations to take part in hot conflict with Russia. And he knows what he's calling for there if that happens. Remember where that there was a bomb, a missile that went off course and landed in a little town in Poland, just on the border with Ukraine. And it was suggested immediately by Zelensky and then by the media that this was a Russian missile. And, you know, NATO had to discuss this because this was a matter involving an attack then on a NATO country, as Poland is. That could have led to World War III. That could have led to an entire world war. What calamity would have befallen of the rest of the world had hotheads prevailed that day and immediately just accepted this call by Zelensky that this was a Russian missile that had landed on a NATO country and had harmed people. I think it had killed a person. As it turned out, it was actually a Ukrainian missile. Ukrainian missile that had gone hell-west and crooked, which just shows how depleted their systems are, how bad their systems are, that they're firing in one direction and it actually goes in the other and ends up in Poland. It's interesting. If it was a Russian missile, NATO would have sprung into action, even though it would have been an accident. But it was a Ukrainian missile, so NATO did nothing. This also says something about how the whole system has been stacked in one direction. And really, I think that the blinkers have to come off sooner or later. Of course, I'll get called Putin's puppet and all the rest of it by the attackers out there, but nonetheless, the truth does need to be said. This isn't a black and white issue. And what isn't black and white either is this coup that we've seen going on overnight. I wouldn't be surprised, as the memes have got it out there, that the CIA paid some money to Wagner to go and do something that destabilized efforts in Ukraine. I wouldn't be surprised to find that it was some clever strategic inside job in Russia to try and make Ukraine suddenly go on the attack and launch a major counteroffensive. I wouldn't be surprised by anything these days, but what I would be surprised by anyone who just believed the rubbish that served up by the mainstream media about that coup, about this conflict, about all the rest of it. Please, people, switch off
the television, switch off the mainstream media, turn off the newspapers, turn off the mainstream radio stations, stop listening to the drivel and the propaganda that they put out there on every single topic. Because if you didn't believe them about the virus, how can you believe them about Ukraine? If you don't believe them about The Voice, how can you believe them about this coup? That's what it boils down to. You need to think differently. We need to start thinking for ourselves. That is what the George Christensen Show is all about. That is what TNT Radio is all about. We'll be back with Barclay again after the news headlines here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show.